fighting for America.
Some of the things we're doing without Congress are making a difference, but we could do so much more if Congress would just come on and help out a little bit.
There are 321 House passed bills that are sitting in the United States Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
What I've tried to employ the female members of my family is that let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Fighting for you.
Kevin Miller's my name. Making it happen's my game. I got a cobra-like thrust, and I will kill if I must.
Where did I hear that before?
I know. You made that phrase famous.
Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Hey, diddle-diddle, right up the middle.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller here with you. Don't forget your chance to win big and rich tickets, and we have tickets to go see the Boise Hawks. We have some vouchers for that. Always good to check out the Hawks. They're doing quite well. School just around the corner. If you've been to Fred Meyer, Albertsons, or any of these local stores here in the area, Winco as well, it's the back-to-school section, and before long, you're going to have to deal with little Johnny and little Timmy and little Billy worrying about what to do as far as interpersonal communication. And I know that's a big word before 6:30 in the morning, but the issue involving bullying, it's gotten a lot of attention, but, you know, how many of us remember being bullied as a kid? Or maybe we saw the FX series Fargo, and no matter how old we are, we still sometimes have to deal with bullies. Well, joining us now is Jimmy V, an author of the fun-filled book Little Jimmy Says, Same as Lame. Was written to show kids and grown-ups that blending in is out and standing out is in. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm great, man. I am great. Just getting it done, trying to get it done over here just like you.
Can you believe that we're already talking about going back to school?
It's crazy. And like you said, going back to school means going back to the bullies, too, for some kids.
Does bullying really exist, considering we've had so much attention on it, as opposed to when we were kids?
Yeah, and I think it's here. It's always been here, but I think that it continues to get worse. I recently read a statistic from USA Today. It was shocking. 160,000 kids every day are bullied. And with the internet, I think it's uncalculable, because now not only you get bullied at school or in your own hometown, in your own neighborhood, now you can be bullied by anyone, anywhere, anytime, as long as you're online.
Now, Jimmy, let me ask you, you seem like a young, hip guy. How old are you?
I am 38.
Okay, so you're 38. You've got some miles on the odometer. You've got some perspective. I'm 46 for people that are keeping tabs at home here at 580KIDO. But look, if somebody writes you a bad email, it's probably not going to have the same impact as being bullied online. What's the impact of being bullied online? Because a lot of us will go, don't worry about it. But because of this generation is so computerly wired in, it's probably significant.
Well, the more and more, you know, to us older guys who, like you said, have some miles on us, you know, the internet isn't where we call home, right? So, yeah, someone sends us something or makes a negative post on our Facebook page, whatever, right? Maybe we'll even shut the whole thing down and be off of it for good. Well, that's not the way it is with the kids. I mean, their life is they're being brought up online. So they can't, just like you can't leave, couldn't leave your neighborhood when you were a kid, you can't leave your neighborhood, your cyber neighborhood, when you're a kid today. And so the interaction that happens online, that social interaction that happens online through social media, really is a social experience for our youth. And the same social interactions and development that occurred for us on the playground or in our neighborhood, in our backyard, is now happening on these websites and through texting and through email today.
Jimmy V with us here. Tell us a little bit about how you, as a father of two, a husband, decided to come up with a book for kids and to help them with this.
Yeah, well, you know, it was interesting where the idea came from. And it always fascinates me where ideas generate from. But I do a lot of seminar tours working with adults talking about marketing. That's my career is in marketing. And so I would talk about this concept I came up with called same as lame. If your marketing's the same, if your business seems the same as every other business in town, if you do it the same way and you look the same, you sound the same, then it's lame. And if you look up lame in the dictionary, it means pathetically lacking in force and effectiveness. Well, if you lack force and effectiveness in life, you really can't get much. Well, I would give a talk about same as lame concept as it related to business, but as part of the talk, I would talk about me being different, being 5 feet tall and growing up short, and how I never really looked at it as a negative. I looked at it as a positive because it always made me stand out and be different naturally. I couldn't help but stand out, and that you have to stand out to get attention. And then once you've got the attention, now you can have an opportunity to turn that into something, a positive, valuable interaction. So when I would talk about this at the end of my seminar, no one would ever come up to me and really talk about the marketing or the business stuff I talked about. They talked to me about the little piece of the discussion where I talked about myself and that I was short and that it was different and it made, you know, it could be looked at as a negative, and they'd start telling me about the thing that made them feel uncomfortable about themselves and how they had wished they had heard this talk when they were younger, and that if they had, it would have made them more confident about the things that they didn't like about themselves. And I said, man, what if we could go back and tell this story
right
in some way to these people when they were younger? Or how about kids that are younger right now, let's tell it to them. So I decided to write a book, a kid's book, that basically took this same as lame concept and in a way that was entertaining and able to be grasped by kids.
Well, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about parents, because most people, that's how you hurt them the most, is when something happens to their kids, whether they're grandkids or regular kids, stepkids, foster kids, nephews, nieces. When your child is bullied and you're a parent, how should you respond?
Yeah, it really is difficult. And the best response comes proactively, not reactively. And so when I talk to parents about this topic, I like to give them four suggestions on how to kind of combat bullying before it even really begins. And it surely can help if it's going on. And the first one is to just, first of all, help kids understand what bullying is. Talk about it. Talk about how to stand up to it safely, tell kids that bullying is unacceptable, and make sure that they know how to get help if they're in the situation and it's problematic, it's caustic. The second thing is to keep the lines of communication open. Once you've had that initial discussion, it's not like it's over and done. You've got to continue to check in with them and say, hey, what's going on? Tell me what's happening. You got to listen to them. You got to know who their friends are. You got to ask at school what's going on. You have to understand their concerns. And this is all just about, you know, being an active and engaged parent with your kid. The third thing is to try to encourage your kids to get involved in things that they love, like special activities or interests, because if they do, they can make friends. It can boost their confidence, and it really can protect them from bullying behavior, because when kids are confident and kids are surrounded by other people that have like interests and they have good relationships, they're less susceptible to being bullied. And then the fourth one, is model the behavior that you want your kids to replicate. So model what it looks like to treat others with kindness and respect, and your kid generally will treat other people with kindness and respect. So if we follow those four guidelines, I think that we can really do a lot to combat bullying before it even begins. And if it is going on, we can kind of find out about it and start to do something to correct the behaviors, whether our kid's being bullied or is the bullier.
Well, that's a good point. Jimmy V with us, Kevin Miller here in the morning, 580 KIDO, talking about bullying and such. But let me hit you with this. How do you handle the meathead parents or the apathetic teachers when it's your kid?
Yeah, I think at that point, you always got to try to go to for outside help in the organizations that are, A, supposed to be there to protect our kids and help our kids and supposed to have their best interests at heart. So you got to go there first. But then once that you've exhausted those arenas, then you really have to take matters into your own hands, and that's where you have to be. You have to have that line of communication and a relationship that's really solid with your child, because if you can't do it with the organizations that are supposed to be there helping them, but you don't actually have a great line of communication with your child, you're never going to be able to get in the middle of this enough to fix it. Because if the schools won't fix it or the meathead parents won't fix it, as you say, now you're left on your own. It's going to be you and yours that are going to have to combat the problem together. If you don't have a great relationship or a great line of communication or the comfort level with your kid, you're not going to be. They're not going to let you in enough to actually do anything about it.
Well, Jimmy, what do you say, though, and you bring up a good point here, what if your kid's the bully?
Yeah, well, I believe that both being bullied and bullying all comes from a lack of self-confidence. It's that position of being not confident in something about themselves that causes them to bully. They get more confidence and they get something from bullying other people. They get some level of confidence from bullying lesser kids or kids they deem they can exert some control over to gain the confidence that they are missing. So the key is, again, to just talk about confidence, get them involved in things that give them confidence outside of just, you know, beating up or making other people feel disrespected or mistreated. And then, again, you know, really do some self-examining and make sure that you are self-aware of the example that you're setting for your kid, because more than likely if they're bullying someone else, they've learned it from somewhere. And maybe that may not be you, but often it is, and sometimes it's they learned it from someone close to them, maybe a sibling or maybe a friend or a family member that's outside the immediate family, but somebody's being a role model, and it's a negative one.
Now, I have to ask you this. You know, we've got the millennials that are wired in. Now we've got the plurals, which are the kids of today. What do you make of kids? Have they really changed, or they have them more choices? Because every parent, every person wants to learn, you know, how to effectively communicate.
No, I don't believe that fundamentally we've changed. You know, evolution takes a long, long time, and I don't think we've gotten to the point where these kids are fundamentally different than we were when we were younger. I believe there are a lot more choices. There's a lot more opportunities for these interactions to occur. So as you have more choices and you have more opportunities for more interactions, there are more interactions. And therefore, there are both more positive interactions and more negative interactions. And whichever one your family and your child are more prone to by your choices, there's going to be more of those. So I don't believe we're fundamentally different. We just have more opportunities for these things to happen. So more of them happen, and we have to. And I believe there's somewhat of a there's more emphasis on negativity and negative things that do happen. So there are more people are the kids are more exposed to bad things, bad behavior, bad outcomes, and which makes it somewhat more okay, you know, because we're a little bit desensitized to some of these things.
Sure.
And so I think that the negativity actually go and the actions go farther, take on a farther consequence than they may have when we were younger or even in our parents' generation.
Finally, what are some things that we should worry about if our what are some signs to when we're looking at our kid and, you know, you say to him, hey, what'd you do at school today? Nothing. Which is like universal, but are there any any warning signs that I'm always suspicious of when you ask a kid, hey, what'd you do? Well, I did this, this, and this. Hey, you know, how old are you? 35. But anyway, any signs that parents listening right now at 580KIDO can look for that could determine if their kid is in trouble at school, a victim of bullying, or just having a bad time that can, you know, give them some insight on how to help their kid?
Yeah, sure. Great indicator is look at who they're hanging out with. That's always a good one. And how their friends carry themselves and how their friends' parents carry themselves. So it's always great if your friends have friends, if your kids have friends to get to know their parents, because the way they conduct themselves is what's contributing to their kids' mindset and behavior and personality and action. So you can kind of get the advanced version of that friend later on in life. So always good to know the parents, watch their friend's behavior, watch their behavior for any kinds of, radical change, differences. Now, obviously as kids grow up and go through adolescence and puberty and all that, there's going to be a lot of change, but what you're looking for specifically is, you know, we're parents. We have kind of a radar on our kids as we've raised them for years. We kind of know when this is outside the normal scope of their personality. Why? What's causing that personality change? And you have to start asking questions. Really, I think key here is to be self-aware enough to say there could be a problem with my kid, because I think a lot of times we just parents want to live in a fantasy land where, yeah, all this stuff happens out there, but it's not going to happen to me.
Sure.
Or my kid.
Right.
And so just having an open mind and being self-aware of what your behavior looks like and how it's influencing your child's behavior or could be influencing your child's behavior.
Jimmy, hang in there.
Be aware enough to say it could happen to me.
Jimmy, hang on for a second. Let's go to Debbie in Boise for our friend Jimmy V at 580KIDO. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Great. I have experienced this from having the child that was accused of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience, the definition of bullying has gotten way out of hand and carried away. People are so tiptoeing around. If your child looks cross-eyed at somebody, they're accused of bullying them all of a sudden. And, you know, I'm older, and I'm raising my grandchildren. And so it's a very different generational thing. In my day, it was sticks and stones can break my bones and words can never hurt me. Okay? We all know words can hurt. But are we so thin-skinned that we cannot take a little bit of we don't have to like everybody. Growing up, you're going to run across people you don't like. So you stay away from them or you avoid them. Well, what happens when the other parents doesn't like the fact that your child is avoiding or doing, I don't know. It just seems like this has gotten so out of hand with bullying that almost everything is labeled bullying anymore.
Well, Debbie, I
agree with you 100%.
So your kid was falsely accused of being a bully?
Yes.
Wow.
I agree with you. I mean, there's a pendulum swing that happens when this stuff, when a flashlight gets shined on this kind of thing. And so we go from, hey, what's out of our social consciousness to, oh my God, it's an epidemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, in the past, you sticks and stones may break my bones, right? That's we don't like everybody. I agree. We're never going to like everybody. You shouldn't like everybody.
Exactly.
I don't believe in universal harmony. You know, just what I tell a lot of my clients is in business is like, in order for one group of people to really love you, you have to do something that turns off another group of people. We call it the rule of thirds. A third are going to love you, a third are going to be indifferent, a third are going to not like what you do and not like how you market yourself and carry yourself. That's if you want to be loved, you got to have the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I wouldn't consider not liking someone or someone saying something negative to you necessarily bullying. Now, if you don't want to be around that person and you're trying to get away from that person, you make a conscious decision to stay away, but that other person continues to be an aggressor, now we start to cross over into the area where, okay, this may be construed as bullying. And this comes back to self-awareness. As parents, we have to be self-aware. Is this just my, you know, something that just normal social behavior, or is this getting out of control and out of hand? And you know, some people are not self-aware. Well, let me revise it. A lot of people are not self-aware.
That's a great point. Debbie, thank you for the call. Jimmy, hang on for a minute. We'll come back for a quick summarization. You're listening to Kevin Miller.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, get ready for school. Our friend Jimmy V with us. Little Jimmy says, same as lame, a fun-filled book to help kids deal with bullying. So what happens when your kid's falsely accused?
I think you got to really start becoming a little bit of a detective and really start to see, to examine it. You know, again, is it because, is he really falsely accused or is he really doing it and we are just not willing to admit it? And, like, you know, this really goes back to the discussion we were having. What if the powers that be don't pay attention, don't want to hear it, don't give you the support? And so we have to really take matters into our own hands. If some of those same suggestions about knowing their parents and looking at their friends, all of those things that's really going to come into play here when we have to become Sherlock Holmes and deduce whether or not our kids actually doing what they're being accused of doing or not. I mean, at the end of the day, we don't want our kids to be bullies, and we don't want our kids to be bullied, and neither does anybody else. So I think if we take responsibility for our kids and really start to get involved in what they're doing, then we can find out whether or not they're doing what they should be doing or aren't. Really, at the end of the day, Kevin, this really comes down to confidence and a natural respect for other people. And I don't think it's really too early to start teaching our kids to be confident, especially in the things that they feel are different. We're so trained to blend in and fit in that we kind of it naturally makes us turn against the things that make us seem different and out of place. We got to teach our kids that that's okay, and that really those can be our strengths, and that other people are going to have differences, and that's good and okay too. And really, that's why I wrote Little Jimmy Says Same as Lame, because it can start that conversation and start teaching kids that message as early as 2 years old. I read this book to my son. He's two every single night. He absolutely loves it. And I don't think he gets it yet, but as he gets older, he's going to have been fed this message and this is going to be a conversation that we can have going forward.
Jimmy, we'd love to have you back. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate all the stuff that you do over here.
Well, definitely. We want to make sure we have you back, but while school gets closer, so don't be a stranger.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Take care, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Jimmy V with us here. And look, in the age of politics, in the age of, well, look, at 580-5436, 580-KIO, it's kind of interesting when you think about this, though. You know, we have some stuff about real-life issues, about making sure that, you know, we find solutions, or, you know, we can go back to this.
Everybody recognizes this is a political stunt, but it's worse than that because...
Oh, never mind. Haven't we heard enough of him? 632, Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Poor old Rick, you called and said you offended him because Bob said something. I'm sure he's still listening.
I'm just so ashamed to hear that kind of talk and taunting. We need these people. We need fresh blood in America. We need a melting pot.
As they say, Kevin, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Let's get it started.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And yesterday we talked about it. We'll go in depth during this segment. Driver's licenses for illegals. Colorado is doing it, and perhaps other states as well. Could it be coming to Idaho? And what do you make of that? Plus, by the way, Ray and Maya, I think what we're going to do here is, since we have some tickets to give away for Big and Rich, what we'll do today is we're going to leave it on you. Don't you love it when that happens? So we're going to have a, dare we say, a family four-pack? Is Big and Rich really a family act? Well, let's see. I have them right here. 1, 2, 3, 4. We have a family four-pack. So when you hear a Big and Rich song, well, you know what they say. You know, a bumper music in the business. Be caller. Let's make it easy because it's Friday. Caller 10. At 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You might hear, you know, coming to your city. You might hear Save a Horse. You might hear Big Time. You might hear a lot of things. So we've got, this hour we'll give away a four-pack, next hour four-pack, and the hour after that a two-pack. So I will keep these tickets with me to remind you that you can go see Big and Rich September 5th. That's at the amphitheater, the Ford Amphitheater at the Idaho Center, courtesy of your friends here at 580 KIDO. So looking forward to doing that. And again, nothing wrong with some Big, some Rich as we roll along. Speaking of Rich, we'll also share with you the comments of Senator Rich that Doug Petkash mentioned yesterday concerning Nagmaid Abedini's husband, Pastor Saeed. Now, we will have Pastor Saeed coming, or not Pastor Saeed, we will have Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagmaid, coming on next week. We'll get an update from her concerning what's the latest and Senator Risch's comments And speaking of Senator Risch, we'll be getting him on during the August recess. And this is something that I think I posted on the Kevin Miller show notes yesterday. And here we have everybody going crazy about this August recess. What will they really do? Now, I know our friend Mike Tracy talks about there are some good public servants that actually work during their August recess, but you tell me, do you think your guy is looking out for you? That's how we would describe Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio here at 580KIDO. Good morning, Jeff.
Well, that was nice. Thank you, Kevin. What's up, man?
Well, you know, yesterday we're fighting with Pat from Middleton about pizza. I know you were concerned.
Lost a little bit of sleep over it last night. How did it work out?
Still working on getting that pizza.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the customer service, though? Everything okay with that front?
Most people know me here. I have issues. So if it's not customer service, it's something. But startling news coming out that people that aren't even in this country legally could get licenses to drive?
Well, beginning today in Colorado, that's what's happening. Colorado becoming one of 13 states plus D.C. and Puerto Rico to enact similar laws where they're giving driver's licenses and state IDs to illegals. Almost 10,000 illegals have already signed up in Colorado. So beginning today, that process will start, but 10,000 have already signed up. And the state expects some 50,000 illegals to have driver's licenses, state-issued driver's licenses and IDs by the end of the year. Supporters say it's all about safety. It's all about, ensuring that, people have insurance and our roads are safe with people who have insurance and driver's licenses. But opponents say that it rewards those who've broken our laws.
I would say, and it reminds me of the program in North Carolina where they had several years ago, that if you're undocumented, illegal, whatever, you could get a mortgage from Bank of America.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of states that have implemented similar type laws, and whether or not this is going to be a success in Colorado. I know that in Illinois that there was an uproar over their law that they recently implemented, but since they implemented, the uproar has died down some. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in Colorado. The State Department of Motor Vehicles says that it received as many as 110,000 page views an hour, crashing the system for several days once the department started accepting appointments, and of the dozens of facilities there in Colorado, only five are going to be processing these, with just a few extra workers added. There are some who contend this is nothing more than to allow a get around the system in terms of people voting. The Democratic-controlled legislature in Colorado approved this law, but one thing that could also add to complications is that the program there's a constitutional amendment in Colorado known as the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, which essentially mandates that program in Colorado, it must pay for itself. Through fees. And so licenses for illegals would be about $50, whereas normally it's about $21 or so. So it's going to have to pay for itself. But then again, the Democratic-controlled legislature could perhaps come back and tweak the law. I don't know. But at this point, that's adding to the complication. The system already is overwhelmed there.
Yeah, and then perhaps somebody who wants to make a name for themselves as a lawyer would say you're discriminating against non-citizens. Because Americans pay for this, non-citizens pay this for their driver's licenses.
Well, in New Mexico, under Governor Bill Richardson, they passed the law to allow illegals driver's licenses, and the current governor, Republican, tried to stop that, but she's failed in her attempt. So it's not a battle that's easily won on either side.
Yeah, that's an amazing story, not to sidetrack too much, but a young lady who worked as a security guard in a parking lot talking about the brilliance of America. Now she's the governor of New Mexico.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want in this country, and I don't care who you are, where you came from, if you put your mind to it, and if you see it, you know what I always tell kids? when they asked me about this profession, I said, look, if you want to do this, if you want to go to the highest level of whatever you want to do, you have to first see it. You have to see the light of it at the end of the tunnel. You've got to envision yourself in that position. And you almost have to have like a tunnel vision. And, you know, because, you know, Kevin, I think everybody listening knows that if you have a dream, no matter what it is, there's all these forces that no matter what, you know, try to take away your dream, no matter what the force is, you have to have a tunnel vision and you have to continue to see it. If you see it, if you work hard, it's going to happen.
Well, and Jeff Manasso, that sounds like the voice of experience from you.
It's happened to me.
Hard to believe that in anything anybody would tell you no, that you couldn't do something.
You know, lots of people told me no back in the day, but I saw it. I saw exactly where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do, and I'm no different than anybody else. Had lots of struggles, and boy, this is a segment, isn't it? This is really turning into a segment.
See, this is good stuff. I have to redeem myself from
the couch. I'm on the couch. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I honestly believe that. I think that
Jeff, I'm with you. I believe you.
I think that. Yeah, I think anybody can do whatever they want.
Well, you know, except maybe play for the Packers or the Patriots or the Crimson Tide. There are some limitations.
And then he brings me down.
I'm sorry. You have a great weekend, sir.
You going to leave me with that?
Well, no, I was just being real. I wasn't talking about you. I'm talking about me. I know my limitations, but I dream.
Well, you know, I could play for the Marshfield Packers. I suppose at some point and continue that dream. But anyway, have a great weekend, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
Take care, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Jeff Manasso, hitting it out of the park. He's right. You have to live your dream. And a lot of people always say, Kevin, why do you always say live your dream? Is that your catchphrase? Well, I learned it from a guy by the name of Pete Miller, who was a Mr. America bodybuilding guy. And it just stuck with me. And we have to reinforce the positive, right? Look, we can all be negbobs of negativity, if you will. I don't know. I hope that's a word. But anyway, and let's face it, we could sit back and play this guy.
Stop just hating all the time. Come on.
Hey there.
Let's get some work done together.
Exactly. Let's get some work done together. My goodness gracious. Anyway, coming up next, does Congress really need an August recess? And live in your dream. You live your dream. All right? Share it with me. Kevin at KIDOAM.com or reach me on Facebook. Let's get you to work.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Howdy. How you? If you haven't heard this song, I got to tell you, it's worth listening to. I'll tell you who it is in a minute. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, coming up next hour. It is our political consultant, Dustin Cook, with us. And as a lot of folks have found out here, you know, we love to have a spirited discussion. And Dustin has been, well, working behind the scenes for quite some time. So we're looking forward to getting his take on some of the big issues of the day. But as our friend China found out, Mike Tracy, Bill Hardy, we like to go back and forth. So our political correspondent, Dustin Cook, will join us. So we'll talk about all things political and try to refrain from him giving us the talking points for the Cleveland Browns or the Boise State Broncos. By the way, Bronco training camp opening today. Summer's over for the Broncos. And Coach Harsin is all fired up and ready to go. We'll see how that plays out for the season. I've been hearing a lot of talk about Ole Miss in Atlanta, and Coach Freeze seems to have a good team. So that's something to look forward to. One thing that we all pride ourselves on are God and country and faith, family, and freedom. I don't know if you've ever been in prison. I don't know if you've ever been in the military. I don't know if you've ever been detained or maybe, you know what I'm saying, or for most of us, well, not you, but I'll say for Pansy Kevin Miller, is there anything worse than being at a meeting that you don't want to be a part of at work, just detained like indentured servitude? You know what I'm saying? But could you imagine being held against your will because you believe in God? Because you're a Christian. Away from your beautiful family at home, your wife, your children, all taken away from you. You're beaten without remorse because you believe in Christ. Not fiction, but fact. That's the case of Idaho pastor Saeed Abedini. His wife, Nagme, continues to fight for him, as well as Senator Risch.
Ms. Sherman, in the kindest and gentlest terms previously, I have urged that you do something about getting Pastor Abedini and the other two Americans released. I was incredibly critical of you guys because you cut billions loose without demanding this tiny, tiny little thing as far as Iran is concerned. I want to ratchet that up a little bit. You did it again. You've cut billions loose without getting those three guys released. Do me a favor. Do America a favor. Do the Abedini family a favor. Tell them next time you're not going to give them any more money unless they kept these three people loose. I can almost guarantee you they're going to do that. You're talking about billions of dollars, and you're talking about three people that we really, really need out of prisons in Iran. Try it. Just try it and see what happens. I'm willing to bet you they're going to cut those three loose in return for the money that you have available to give them.
Thank you, Senator Risch. By the way, that song was Big Time by Big and Risch. Congratulations to Chris and Boise for winning those tickets. Keep it here next hour for your chance to win as well. Details coming up. Time for traffic. 6:59 coming up next. The political correspondent returns. Are we going to relive our Tampa days? I don't know. But we'll talk all things politics next. 580 KIDO. Stay with us.